Hello, this week we're going to be talking about the latest arrest of now former Miami Dolphins running back Mark Walton, the running game in general, and then also giving a preview into the Cleveland Browns game this weekend. Joining me, as he has previously, is also FIU student Eric Wiedeke, and then our podcast, I guess, co-host trio, it's three of us, Corey Ashren, who is also joining. So we're getting a three-person one now that we have been given the green light to go a little bit longer on the podcast. Eric's done some introduction before. So Corey, would you like to let the listeners at FIU and kind of everywhere, if this gets anywhere, what you do?
Hey, FIU. I am Corey Ashren. You can find me on Twitter at AshrenPFN. I am the lead editor for the website PFN. I've been there since the dawn of the time for PFN. I do not live anywhere near you guys. I am from Oregon and I'm a Dolphins fan, so a little bit different for me out here than you guys, but I'm excited to be on the pod. Thank you, Kai.
Of course. And then Eric, how are you? How are you getting through the tail end of the semester here?
I think I am being held together by paper clips and string, but you know.
Have you done your IDS draft essay yet?
Half of it.
Okay, that's farther than I've gone because I have not started. We're going to be talking about, of course, Mark Walton. I want to, you know, get into that first. He gets arrested for, of course, this is, I want to put allegedly, even though of police reports have it down, you know, stuff like this is always tricky. So allegedly, and according to police reports, he was arrested for repeatedly hitting his, I think it's been reported that it's his girlfriend. The main thing is that she's pregnant with their child, and that he had apparently just found out or recently found out, was arrested by Davie police on Tuesday morning, reported by Adam Beasley at 4 a.m. So what, you know, Eric, let's start with you here. Well, Mark Walton, not the player, but Mark Walton, the person, how do you think things have kind of gone wrong? What do you think about the situation that happened Tuesday, his previous arrests, everything that's happened with him and his past and now present as well?
I mean, I guess if you're asking me, the Dolphins made a mistake in signing him. I don't want to say that they have, because, you know, not everybody in football is going to have a clean record. And I believe this is the first time he's done something to this extent. Now, I don't think he should get back into the league. I think he should serve as long a sentence as possible for what he did, or what he allegedly did. But I don't believe that the Dolphins made a mistake in signing him in the first place, because I do think that, you know, you do make risks. You take calculated risks in this sport, and this is just one that unfortunately didn't work out. But I mean, you know, it happens like that sometimes. I just hope that the woman in this situation is all right.
Right. I agree with that last part, that, you know, his girlfriend or however it is, the mother of his child, hopefully her, and then of course their child or their soon to be child is all right in the situation. I don't think that, I want to rephrase, I don't think that they made a mistake. I'm just saying his previous issues and him, I guess, as a person. Of course, we don't know Mark Walton the person, but we know Mark Walton what's happened and his arrests, and how things have happened with him in the past. Of course, getting cut by the Bengals, I believe was arrested four times over the offseason, and that's why he was released, was on probation, had his sentence released or reduced from 5 years to 60 days. Just in general, I talked about this in my article on Tuesday, how the NFL has had an issue with domestic violence in terms of their players, even just accusations that are not true sometimes that happen for the NFL. A lot of times they get dismissed. We've seen it before with, you know, then Vikings running back Adrian Peterson. We saw it with Joe Mixon when he was at Oklahoma, although that was technically not domestic violence in the way that they reported, because he was just caught on video punching a female student, but not someone that was in a relationship with him, is the way that they kind of phrased it. And then of course the one that's probably been the biggest, or not domestic violence on Adrian Peterson's part, let me correct that as well, that was just him hitting his children with a switch, and he said he still whips his children today, So let me correct that part really quick. But the more famous one in terms of domestic violence being Ray Rice, where he was caught on video punching his now wife, Janae Rice. Corey, do you think that the NFL, and we just want to touch on this very quickly, we'll get into some of the running back stuff for the Dolphins. Do you think that the NFL needs to take a better look at how they have their players and their stance on domestic violence?
Yeah, domestic violence, there's no reason it should be allowed in the NFL, in my opinion, at all. You know, these guys, whether they want to be or not, are an example for young people in America. I know growing up myself, I looked to athletes as a guide for what I wanted to be when I grew up. And maybe that's not a smart decision by me as a child, but that's the way it was. They're kind of put up on a pedestal along with other entertainers. But for me, sports were always the biggest entertainment and the love of my life. So I look to guys like LeBron James or, you know, so on and so forth, the guys that I wanted to be like. And when you go and you look at an NFL team and you go watch an ESPN or SportsCenter and you're seeing stories about a man that you were looking up to, maybe not Mark Walton in particular because he's not great, he's not a star, but you know, Ray Rice at the time was, and Kareem Hunt was really big when he got in his trouble. And so you have a bunch of young fans looking into the NFL and seeing guys do this. And once it happens to something like this level, they need to be done. It's, to me, it's inexcusable. You can't allow this to be allowed back in the NFL. You need to get rid of these type of guys. If it comes out that it was absolutely 100% true, and they've proven that.
Right, that's why I mentioned that.
Proved everything, but.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, it's the same thing. Kareem Hunt, that was one. Tyreek Hill most recently, that there were certain things that were proven, weren't proven. That, of course, I was with his child and his girlfriend, if I'm not mistaken. We've had situations. I can't remember the exact details of the Gerrion Conley situation during the draft. Well, before the draft, where I'm not sure if it was sexual assault or domestic violence, whatever he was being accused of, that came out false. I think originally the first thing that happened with Reuben Foster was false, and then the second thing that happened with him was true. A lot of it has been muddied. I touched on it because I was looking at a lot of the domestic violence stuff, or just, you know, player arrests in general, and even just like stuff with their children. And when I went on to the USA Today, actually has a nice little database of arrests, and they update it as they happen. So of course now Mark Walton's at the top of that list because it is now more recent. But when you search it up now, it'll be 127 with the Mark Walton, or with the Mark Walton arrest. But it's 127 times that domestic violence is brought up in this database, and it dates all the way back to 2000. So in the past 19 years, which is a little bit, not even a little bit concerning, it's extremely concerning. But from the Mark Walton situation, we go to the running back situation. Right now, with Mark Walton being on suspension, we've been having Kalen Ballage, who has, quote, nothing left to prove, which is what he told Joe Shad. And then he has also been averaging 1.9 yards per carry. And a lot of people, a lot of fans have been asking for Patrick Laird or Miles Gaskin. And even, I can't remember the other, there's another person that's on the roster, just anybody but Kalen Ballage to be running the football. Do you think that we will see Eric, either Gaskin or Laird, get a real chance to be a part of this offense now that Kalen Ballage has been averaging 1.9 yards per carry? Mark Walton is now no longer on the team. Do you think that they get a chance?
I think you'll eventually see them get some run. I don't think they're going to ever be 15 to 20 touch per game guys. If you were to ask me what I would be clamoring for, honestly, give me more of that Wildcat with Jakeem Grant. Have, you know, do that Albert Wilson, Jakeem Grant Wildcat thing that we saw last year. I'd be all for that.
Corey, do you have any specific? That's actually interesting. Maybe Jakeem Grant, plug him in at running back a little bit, a little mix up. Or do you think that they should try to give Laird the shot? I know he's been the more popular one in recent discussions.
It's Laird season, baby. No. I after preseason, I loved Laird, and I wanted him to get a chance before Ballage in the first place. Ballage, I'll admit I was wrong on Ballage. I liked him a lot coming out of college. Not like top-level running back in the draft or anything crazy like that. But when we got him, I was pretty happy, and I thought he could be a really nice fit with Miami. But he has a lot to prove, and he's not proving anything other than he's not capable right now. And so I do think you need to go check out these other guys, Myles Gaskin and Patrick Laird. I think those guys will give you a better chance to win, which is ultimately what the coaching staff should want the most. And I do think they want that more than anything else. But get a feel for these guys, because right now, Belage is not it.
Yeah, I'd have to agree there. He has everything to prove, and I'm shocked that he told Joe Shad that he has nothing left to prove. Quickly here to wrap up the podcast, we have the Dolphins facing the Cleveland Browns. Last week, when they were ready to face the Buffalo Bills, I told fellow SFMN writer Alexandra Yoon, she wanted me to say Alexandra Yoon and not Alex Yoon, but I told her that the Bills were 100% going to lose to the Dolphins. I thought the Dolphins had a 100% win. I thought that that was going to be a great job because it was at Hard Rock Stadium. I was wrong, but I think that they do have a good chance against the Browns with the Myles Garrett injury. However, I do think they're going to lose. Corey, do you think that the Dolphins have a chance, and do you have a score prediction by any chance for what this game could look like?
I don't think the Dolphins really have a good chance, and it's not due to coaching or lack of effort. We also just put Bobby McCain and Rashad Jones on IR and an already bad talent deficient defense. And so you take two of your veterans off that team, and it's, you know, we signed a safety. I can't remember if he was in Seattle or something before, but the team right now is really struggling for talent. It is what it is. You can't fix that. You know, you can coach all you want. If you don't have players that can execute, you're not going to do anything. So right now, the Browns have been and still are probably a top 10 talented team in the NFL. They're loaded, right? And even without Myles Garrett, they're still loaded. And I don't think Miami's going to be able to cover Jarvis and Odell at all. I think Baker Mayfield's going to have himself a day. And it is what it is. I do predict Miami to get blown out here. I would expect something like 27 to, I'll say 9, maybe 10. You know, I think we might get one touchdown. So I'll say 27 to 10. Fitzpatrick to Devontae Parker for a touchdown.
Eric?
Yeah, I mean, you knew the magic was going to run out at some point. They had won two straight games. You were kind of just counting down, okay, when are the other teams going to catch up to them and what they're doing? We saw a lot. They can't stop the run, and that's one thing the Browns certainly can do. I think the Browns control the clock. You know, the Dolphins' defense puts up a fight, but ultimately they lose something like 24 to 10, similar to Corey's score.
I'd have to kind of agree there. I think the Dolphins score a little more points than that, but I also think the Browns put up a little more. I could see this maybe being like 31 to 17, something along those lines. But I also think that depends on running and everything else for the Dolphins. I do think that coaching is a big part of it, though. I think we've seen from this Browns team that they are poorly coached on both sides of the ball, and from a talent point of view to a scheme to just how they behave. I mean, the team looks and play like they are, you know, children in a way. And they're different every single week. But I do think the Dolphins end up losing this weekend. To end everything off here, you can find Eric on Twitter at Eric_Cam_. You can also find Corey, as he mentioned before, on Twitter at AshburnPFN with a capital A. I think PFN is also all three capitalized. And then you can listen to us every Friday morning on the Any Given Friday podcast. So once you're done listening to this, go over to theprofootballnetwork.com, go to the podcast section, and click on the Any Given Friday podcast, and you'll find our podcast where we talk about the general NFL and not just the Miami Dolphins. So from SFMN, this has been Kai Chan Chisholm, and I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.